The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So this morning, I'd like to start us off with a little story, something that happened to me, which is now, gosh, I can't believe it. When I think about it, it's actually decades ago, like, wow. So I was going to a meditation center, and, you know, and I would go for the, there'd be a sit and then a Dharma talk, which is pretty common, kind of what we're doing here this morning. And then as soon as the Dharma talk was over, like, pew, out, I'd just leave the center. I didn't talk to anybody. I just left. Later, one of my friends termed this being a Dharma bolter, somebody who just bolts at the end of that Dharma talk. So I was one of those people. But I don't remember what inspired me to do this in particular, but there was a time in which there would be an extended sitting and walking practice period, and then there would be a brown bag lunch, and it wouldn't be in silence, so an opportunity to talk with others, including the teacher. And I, you know, I was kind of shy, I guess. I don't know exactly why, but I was hesitant to do this. But I went, and with the brown bag lunch, I ended up talking with some lovely people. We had this lovely conversation. And I remember myself thinking, like, oh, well, this wasn't so bad. Maybe I should have done this earlier, or, you know, something like this. Then at the end, when we were all cleaning up and packing up, getting ready to go, one of the people I had spoken to said, oh, it was nice talking with you. And what was your name again? And just this small gesture. What was your name again? Somebody asking me, like, who I was, made me feel like, oh, maybe I could belong here. And I didn't even know that that was what I was looking for, or what I wanted, or anything like that. But just this simple gesture, just somebody asking me this simple question. And I went back again and again and again. And I developed friendships, people that I knew. And then sometimes we would meet in coffee shops after Dharma talks and talk about the Dharma talk that we would hear. And then a number of them signed up for a residential retreat. And I'd done one retreat, and it was really hard for me. And I thought, oh, I'm not sure I want to do one. But honestly, it was a certain amount of peer pressure. Like, okay, if they can do it, I can do it, kind of a feeling. And they went off the retreat. I didn't go to that particular one, but I went to another retreat. And wow, here I am decades later, sitting on this side of the camera, giving a dormet. So I'm often struck by how just somebody saying, oh, and what was your name? You know, just kind of planted the seed for me to just keep on coming back and to be part of a community. And this community really supported me so much. Tremendous. So much so that I've, you know, now dedicate my life to being with the Dharma. So just want to say a few words about practicing in community. There's this way in which practicing with other people who are also practitioners, we could say that supports some of the wholesome qualities, the helpful, skillful qualities that Buddhist practice is all about developing and cultivating them. We model them to each other and maybe in some kind of way, reminding each other of their value. And I couldn't put my finger on it at that time, but something that struck me about these conversations that I had, you know, all these years ago, is that we weren't gossiping. We weren't talking about, like, oh, that terrible thing that happened over there that so-and-so said, or something like this. Instead, we were talking about things that were meaningful and relevant, and not being divisive and putting down other people or anything like this. And there's this way that this sense of safety that that created, knowing that they weren't going to say all kinds of bad things about me as soon as I walked away, really helped me to start to think less about other people that weren't there in that conversation and more about what is my experience? And can I listen to other people's experience? And can I listen to their ideas and what's important to them? And this turned out to be so enormously helpful. So there's this way in which when we practice with others, it really supports some of these wholesome, helpful, healthy qualities to show up in us. And there's this way that with others, we can find some encouragement to share how things really are when it's appropriate, right? We're not throwing out all social norms, but we're, you know, being sensitive to what's appropriate at the time, but finding some encouragement for practice to show up in an authentic way, maybe even in a vulnerable way. And also this way in which we can have some appreciative joy, some when people are sharing some of their good things that are happening in their life, some of their victories, or maybe they got some good news from the doctor's office, or maybe somebody in their life is getting married to a partner that's really good for them, and we just feel so happy about this. Or maybe we just got into a residential retreat. Maybe we got off the wait list, or got in through the lottery or something like this. We can like help celebrate other people's joys and these small little triumphs or good newses. And to be sure, practicing with other people also bring to the surface perhaps some unhidden, unwholesome tendencies we might have, some unhelpful, unskillful tendencies, which allows us to work with them. Maybe we have envy when we hear about other people's good fortune. And can we just notice, oh yeah, there's this pang of jealousy there. Or maybe we have some stinginess where we don't want to be generous. We don't want to share with others. This key teaching in the Buddhist teachings is, you know, to share generosity, whether it's resources, our time, or just giving people the benefit of the doubt. Maybe we discover like, oh, when we see other people be generous in whatever way they are, volunteering, whatever it might be, we realize, oh yeah, I'm not so generous. And this also is some of the support of practicing in community. Because there's this way, if we practice all by ourselves, it's can be really helpful and can be really supportive to practice by yourself. I'm not saying that we shouldn't ever do it, but what can also happen is that it builds up these mistaken perceptions of, I'm so powerful, I don't need anybody. I got it all figured out. I know how to do this. And all those other people, they're just annoying or troublesome or bothersome. Or maybe we have this mistaken perception, oh, I'm so broken. I can't do any of this right. Everybody else can, and I can't. You know, both of these perceptions, either end of the spectrum, is not entirely accurate. There's this way when we see ourselves reflected in the eyes of others, we understand ourselves better. We recognize, oh yeah, this is a human tendency. Some of the things that we do, when we see other people doing it, we realize, oh, it doesn't mean that I'm fantastic. It doesn't mean that I'm a failure. It just means that I'm human. And this is so important for us to recognize this common humanity and this connection we have with others. And to also see where some of the, maybe where the diamond could be polished a little bit on some of those edges. Because not only when we ignore, we could say, this importance of being connected, there's a way in which we are denying ourselves some of the support that's needed. Because let's be honest, sometimes being on this path of practice is not easy. Sometimes it feels barren, dry. Sometimes the self-understanding we're gaining is not good news, and we're seeing a part of ourselves that we hadn't seen before, and it feels like, ugh, ick. So there's this way in which we all encounter so many different things when we practice, but it doesn't have to be barren. We don't have to carry the burden all by ourselves. There's this way in which connecting with others or practicing with others can be a tremendous support. And of course, the Buddha recognized this. Of course, there's lots I could say about in the suttas about the Buddha supporting friendships, beautiful friendships. In the Anguttara, there's this quote where the Buddha says, "I do not see a single thing that causes wholesome qualities to arise as good friendship, beautiful friendship." Some of you will know this word is kalyanamitta. Mitta being friend, well, yeah, friend. Friendship is mitta-ta, but that's technical. Kalyana is often translated as good spiritual, but it could also be translated as beautiful, beautiful friends. So the Buddha recognized this, that who we spend time with is so important. So what does it mean to be have this beautiful friendship, this good spiritual friend? I want to be frank, it's not easy. As adults, to make friends with other people. But something that I appreciate very much is the Buddha talked about there's good spiritual friends, associates, and companions. He used three different words, like three different synonyms. And one way that I'm interpreting this is there are different levels of intimacy. It could just be as sitting with others on YouTube right now. Maybe you're not putting something in the chat, but just this recognition that others are there. Or maybe if I weren't here, or me or some teacher weren't here, you wouldn't be sitting now. So just to recognize that kind of a support, where maybe it's not so much that we're talking to one another, but we're just recognizing the presence. But to create friendships, good spiritual friendships, beautiful friendships, requires patience, some deliberate effort, having warmth, being a good listener, being authentic, not trying to be spiritual. That's annoying, right? When people are trying to do that, but showing up with some authenticity, and relationships grow with honesty. And not only that, in some relationships, whether they're friendships that we spend time with or maybe more casual, it requires a willingness to be supported by others. Are we teachable? Or do we somehow think that we know everything? Are we willing to learn from others? Can we be inspired by others instead of collapsing into envy, or just recognizing that all of our lives unfold the way they unfold? Other people's lives unfold differently than our own. Of course they do. Good spiritual friendships, I mean, can we receive feedback? That's maybe it's a lot of it is indirect. Maybe we see our mindlessness when we see other people's mindfulness. Maybe we see how our speech is maybe not the best. We're slipping into some gossip or divisiveness or something that's not so helpful. Maybe we notice that when we notice that others aren't doing that. Or maybe our conceit about our meditation practice or our attainments may be softened when we spend time with other people who hold themselves lightly. Or maybe they just don't show any interest in our how long we've been meditating or whatever attainments we've had. And are we open to learning or being inspired by people who are different than us? Maybe they have a different life story, come from a different part of the world. Can we be inspired by them? Can we learn from them? So, beautiful friendship, such an important part of practice. There's this way that we practice not only for ourselves, but with and for others, community. So, may we be companions on this path, encouraging one another directly or indirectly towards wisdom, compassion, and freedom. Thank you. Thank you very much.